called to be a lighthouse, called to be witnesses, but whatever God has called you, He wants to use you and my life and your life for the golden gospel of sunlight to shine into a darkened world. That's what He wants to use us for, that we to be a lighthouse. And as we try to read these scriptures, I have to go a little bit slower. Maybe that won't take us too much longer. But as I said, we talked about unity and all these other things that we talked about. And then in verse 12, it says, wherefore. Then it says, wherefore, it hinges back to what's already been said, especially in this chapter, what has already been talked about. Then wherefore, after all this, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offended, offered upon the sacrifice of service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for watching out over us this day, and Lord, for bringing us to another close and just kind of pulling the curtains over this day. Bring us now to the night, the area, God, that sometimes that we think maybe that we're doing it all ourselves, but Father, we know it's you. And Father, as we lay upon our bed this night, Lord, we know that you will look after us, and we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's here, and for especially for those, Lord, that couldn't come. And Lord, the senior citizens that we called out, and those we didn't call out, Lord, we just ask you to be with them in a special way. And all those on our prayer list and our hearts and our mind, Lord, in our prayer box, we just want to praise you and thank you for all the blessings that you bless us with this day, and especially here this night as we circle around your throne with our hearts together, oh God. And we just pray, God, that your presence might fill this place this night. And all these blessings, we thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen. Verse 15, it says, among whom ye shine as lights in this world. I wonder who he's talking to in his verse of scriptures. Paul is that penned this letter, but that's been 2,000 years ago, and it says, to whom ye shine as lights in this world. I wonder who he's talking to. You reckon he's talking to us this day? God made us to be lighthouse. Sometimes we complain, and sometimes people complain about the dark places they may have to work. Sometimes, boy, you just don't know the place I have to work. I mean, they so much people are just lost, and man, there's so much cruelty, and just a terrible place to work. And sometimes in school it's that way. And you think about this, but maybe God put you in that place for you to be a shining light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And that word nation there is, again, is a word that means generation. He's put you in that spot in this generation, as he's put other people in the past generation. He's put you in this generation today. And you don't put a lighthouse in downtown Atlanta. Where do you put a lighthouse? You put a lighthouse on maybe some barren, rocky cliff or some sand-swept shore for a warning, for a beacon, a guide for ships to harbor safely as they come in. So God's put you there wherever you at in life, and you know, you may be having it good now, but you don't know where you're going to wind up at. It might be a school, it might be on a job. Oh boy, if I could just get out of here, God might want you there to be a light for them. Thank God, you know, that everybody around me, I'm a good place. Thank God, everybody around me, they saved. I'm having a good time on my job. I just have a good time. Everybody's saved. Well, and all your neighbors saved. Well, that's good if they are, but there's so many people, you know, that's not saved in this world. And God called you to be the light. You know, today, so many times, our churches, you know, has become a kind of a sacred place, a society. We might just snub sinners, and we got it all made for ourselves. We have the idea, you know what, if we just kind of huddle up together. Man, I'm telling you, if we can just huddle up together, we got it made. I mean, in Pleasant Hill, I mean, I really do have a good time, and I know you do too. I thank the Lord. But you see, I wonder if that's exactly what we really taken from this message tonight. I kind of visualize it like Walmart. Walmart opened this door, say they did, they stay up all out. Say they open their door in the morning, and it takes a lot of people to work at Walmart. Y'all know that? Well, all employees goes into Walmart, and they shut the door, and they sell the merchandise one to the other one. Don't let nobody in except one that's working. And you know, a lot of times, that's the way we are at a church, and we will be that way if we're not real careful. What we have here is great. And I really want to thank the Lord that we rejoice and you know, in everything we have here at Pleasant Hill. But outside of Pleasant Hill, in this congregation, there's lost people, and they're struggling in the sea of life, and they need the gospel of light. So don't forget that. We're not Walmart comes in and closes the doors. There's other people that needs to come in, and we ought to be the one to help them. You say, Sunday, won't you invite somebody to be here Sunday, maybe one of your lost friends? And you might say, well, I don't have any lost friends. You've been teaching us for separation, and I'm separated. I don't have any lost friends. Well, separation does not mean isolation. Many churches were just saints of society. And you think about this, and you look at some of these old country churches who's gathered together, and they're just waiting for the bus to come for heaven. We just gather together in our little saintly society in our church, and we're just waiting for the bus to come to take us to heaven. And that's far as it reaches. And then you see, we wonder sometimes why, as you go to a lot of our older country churches, and you'll see people with mostly gray-haired people, or either you see people like me and Jimmy Brown without no hair. But anyway, what I'm talking about, they're aging, and they're sitting, and they're waiting for the bus to come from heaven. And their youth is not coming. What is the reason for this? What's the reason? You see, we read a bunch of people on our senior citizens. You know, there's a lot of them that already left. And you know, and it's hurt our attendance, and it's hurt a lot of things by now. We need other people. Now, whose fault it is if they're not coming in? Matthew said in 5:13-14, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Salt permeates and light illuminates. And then it says in verse 12 again, it says, wherefore, looking back, wherefore now let our light shine and be a lighthouse for Jesus Christ. Looking back, in your life right now, have they been a person or persons that you look back in? It might be your grandfather, your grandmother, your neighbor, your friend, and I can think of several people in my life that could say, a lot of people, we say it this way, if they ever was a Christian, she was one. If they had ever a saint of God, he was one. The lighthouse, can you remember back anybody was a guide to you in your youth of your life, and the reason that you come to know Jesus Christ? Might be your dad, your mother, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, cousin, grandparents, whatever it might be. But somebody, as you think back, was a lighthouse to guide you. And I think most of us are here tonight can remember some people that's been a great lighthouse for us. And even when you come to know the Lord, and they've been a lighthouse here at this church. They've been a lot of lighthouses in this Pleasant Hill, not just here at this church, for me and my family. They've been a lot of lighthouses. And you know, and that's what he's telling us here about being a lighthouse for someone else, because there's a dark world out there and someone needs help. This is the theme of this whole chapter here, is letting your light shine. As you remember back in verse 2, we read for several weeks ago, Jesus Christ was going to the cross and, you know, ready to die. And he says, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, the word we're looking for here tonight is obedient. This word obedient. Now, in verse 12, as I read again, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, the word obeyed. You know, he's talking about obedience. that song that's in our hymn book. Well, I like to hear that song. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be what? In the Lord except trust and obey. You know what? That's true. And that's the reason I like a lot of these, I like all of them, but these old hymns. Because you know what? They were wrote for experience of life. I believe it's kind of like the Bible. I believe God inspired these old songs, I tell you, I really do. But anyway, trust and obey, because another way is, if you want to be happy, the honest way is to trust and obey Jesus Christ. Now, there's no other way, it says, but to obey. It's obedience that counts. There's two words, that trust and obey. You know, that's the 2 feet that helps Christians walk this Christian life. It's the 2 eyes that helps us see the blessings of God. But you see, it's also the 2 hands that help us to receive the promise of God. Trust and obey. Now, what's the reason, and I think we're all aware of this, or we should be, that you know the percentage of Christianity is going down, down, down in our country and also in the world. Down, down, it's smaller and smaller. Why is the reason that we're not reaching more people? Why is the reason, percentage-wise, Christians are dropping all the time in the world population? Is it because we don't have enough of money or resources? Maybe is it a personal reason? We just don't trust God. You reckon that's what it is? It's certainly not the money the Lord owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, but I believe it's personal. We don't trust and obey God like we should. You know, obedience is not an option in the Christian life. It's just not an option to obey. A man said, you know, I got a smart dog. And they said, well, prove it. And he says, watch this. He opened the door and told that dog, he says, you come in or either stay out. He said he minds every time. He does one or the other. You know, that's about the way we are. We do one or the other. That's about the way we are, I'm telling you. Christian will or they won't. That's about it is. But Jesus Christ was obedient to the cross. How much more should we be obedient to him? In our homes and in our life, we should be a lighthouse. We need to be a lighthouse. Now, I put on these 5 principles. That really, for us to be obedient, for us to have your house to be a lighthouse. Ray sings that song, you know, there's a room in my house or a room in my heart, or what is it, Ray? Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Now, there's rooms there. Well, here's the answer to those rooms. There's a door, there's a room that I don't go in. There's a room, you know, that's kind of sealed up, you know. But here's the answer to this. Here's the key to these doors. And this principle is one of them is responsibility. Remember now we're talking about obedience. Responsibility. Verse 12 again. Therefore, my beloved, you have always obeyed. Obeyed. And it says, not in my presence only, but also in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, see, this is a personal responsibility that he's calling on those people to do, calling on you and I to do now, because it's your salvation given to you by Jesus Christ. It is a gift of God. It's your salvation, but it comes from Jesus Christ. It is a gift of God by Jesus Christ. Now, no one can work it out for you. I don't care how much you love your kids, your family, your wife, your husband, no matter mother, your father, but no one can work out your salvation for you. Paul says, you know, not only obey in my presence only, but obey also in my absence. Work out your own salvation. Now, the mark of maturity in your Christian life, in my Christian life, in the Christian life, is accepting the responsibility is to obey the Lord. You see, when your children were small, a lot of us, I know we had a lot of time, you had babysitters. But then, you know, as they grew up and they took more responsibility, one day that you could go off and leave and they didn't need babysitters. Because they had the responsibility they took on their own, and you know that you could leave them. Now, don't say work for your salvation. Ephesians 2 is a very familiar scripture with all of us too, 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He's not talking about working your salvation or for your salvation, but working out what God's already put in. It's His salvation. See, college students, we got some college students here. These college students can't work out the curriculum until they enroll in college. You got to enroll first, is that right? Then you start working it out after you enroll these curriculums. You can't work it out until you first receive it. Same thing about our salvation. Work out. This word, then, work out, is a mining word, as I looked up. You have a coal mine. You have a gold mine. It's yours. And you have to get in that coal mine or get in that gold mine, and you got to work out that gold that's in that mine. This is what it's talking about. And really, our salvation is much richer than a gold mine that's in here that you got to work out. You got to work it out. That mind that we have, that gold mind. You know, as you study the Bible, and I spent several hours on these scriptures, and you know, as you study the Bible once in a while, that God would just give you a little nugget of gold to go along with this I'm talking about. And you just dig and you study and you work in that gold mine, and it works out. There's several of these nuggets that I never saw before, that God has showed me by studying and praying and just this gold nugget, I tell you. And it was a pleasure to me to see this. Then this was one of them right here, that it's already in here. And I've got to do the working out, not the salvation. You know, it's a personal responsibility. And many Christians, they just won't work in this gold mine. They just won't work it out. It says, work it out with fear and trembling. Now, those two words, when I always read these scriptures, this is some more nuggets that he gave me to share with you. You might already know them. I couldn't catch it. I couldn't get it. You know, the Bible says we learn here a line, there a line, and here and there. We can't all accept all that at one time. He showed it to you. But fear and trembling. Now, the fear and trembling is not fear and trembling that we may not make it to heaven. Because we're saved, we're going to heaven, we understand that, don't we? That's not the fear and the trembling. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How do we think about that? What is he talking about? Well, if you keep reading your scriptures and you study, you know, fear and trembling, you'll find out he's talking about this fear and trembling that you might miss out on God's plan that he has for your life. You think about that. The fear and trembling that you might miss out on the perfect will that God has got for your life. That's the fear and trembling that he's talking about. And how much do we really have, and how much do we really want of that plan for our life? Do we really fear and tremble that I might miss out on what God really wants me to do and how he really wants me to live? Do I really fear and tremble? Do you? Do you really fear and tremble that? Most of us don't fear and tremble it, but Paul says you need to. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through and 3 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or wisdom of declaring upon you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in wealth and in fear and in much trembling." Same thing Paul talked about again, the second place. Fear and trembling that we might miss out on the perfect plan that God had. Did you know what? If we could really get in on that, you think you might be happy tonight? Do you want to be happier when you get on the perfect will of God for your life? Are you feared that you won't do it? Do we have this fear? He says, you know, Paul says this weakness and fear and trembling. Afraid he's going to depend on the flesh and the weakness of the flesh and the world and the devil, and really not really serve Jesus like he ought to. Are you really interested in serving Jesus Christ? Or do you think that you really have done God a favor for being at church when you should be at church? You know, a lot of people think that, man, I made it today. I come every Sunday morning and I've made it. I've done God a big favor. Or we might come all the time and you think that we done God a favor. Think about that. You think you done God a favor by the time we come? Because you see, Sunday morning, Sunday night, whatever it might be. But you see, tonight, this is not the service of the Lord. You come Sunday morning for Sunday school and preaching, that's not the service of the Lord. You know what that really is? That's preparing us for the service of the Lord. Just prepare. What we do tonight is preparing you for this is not the service. This is preparing you for the service tomorrow and the rest of the week. You know, who knows, maybe the rest of our life. You know, I've already got one of these things. Here goes number two. There's a responsibility, but second thing, you know, the principle of what? Possibility. I don't have what it takes, really, to do this, you say. I'm really not equipped. I don't have no college degree. Maybe I don't have the health that I should have to do everything I need to do. You know, I went to see Brother Vernon, and he'll soon be 93 years old. He's sitting out there on the porch, he's still got a sound mind. You know what? He's still preaching the Word of God. He's still serving the Lord. He's still worshiping Jesus Christ in the position he's in. Don't give me this retirement age and all this stuff. Don't give me this, you know, I'm not able, this stuff. You're able to do what God's called you to do, and I tell you what, it hit me worse than anybody else, because you know what, I'd quit tonight if you'd let me. I'd rather be back on one of those pews sitting by Daryl, better I hate to say that. But I can't quit on the Lord, you can't neither. What he's called you to do, he didn't call me. What he's called me to do, he didn't call you to do. We got something, every one of it, God has called us to do. You know, it's this, you know, the possibility that we have. I could say, or you might say, I don't have the intellect. I don't have the education. I don't have the intellect. I don't have the personality. You know, you're telling God all the reasons that you can't do what he's told you to do. I know it. I've run them all down. I've told him all the reasons. And I know that Brother Darrell did too when we was called to go into the preaching. I used every excuse they was in the world. And I only said, Lord, you must have made a mistake this time. I know that you're perfect, but you surely made a mistake this time. I don't have the education. I'm stupid. I'm ignorant. I'm everything I could think of. I can't talk. I'm bashful, and I still about the same way. I don't have no seminary education. Don't have no education at all. You know the only thing I have? Just me and the Lord. That's all. Most churches wouldn't even let me take care of the nursery, much less preach. I don't have nothing but the Lord. I don't have nothing but the Lord. Every command that God's give you and me, he's given us the power to carry it out. He didn't say it'd be easy, because people's laughed at me, made fun of me. And can I say, I naturally know they have talked about me, and it's not easy. And I don't look at the people, I look at the Lord. I look at the Lord. He's given me the power to do it. And you know what? When you tell God you can't do it, that is what he's called you to do. That is an insult to God, and it's a hellish lie. Whatever he's called you to do. Verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that worketh means energy. You know, it's a mockery of Jesus Christ if you say, Lord, I can't do it, and he's called you to do it. The lessons that I've learned, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. A man working in an office wanted a raise, and he thought for sure that his raise would come in. So he asked his boss, he said, when is my raise coming in, and when is it going to be effective? He said, when you are. Don't that sound like us? You want something of God? Are you affected? Are you? You see, God's got a part and we got a part. Anybody remember when there wasn't no power steerings on cars and tractors and everything else? Now we got power steering. But you know, it don't do a bit of good in the world until you turn the wheel. It don't do a bit of good in the world, all this power, without power steering, until you turn the wheel. You say, but it's not my fault. I don't have the desire to do this. I don't have the desire to teach. I don't have the desire to sing. I don't have the desire to soul win. I don't have the desire to visit. I don't have the desire to read. I don't have the desire to prayer. I don't have the desire. You know what? If you have said that, you just told on yourself. You've told on yourself. No desire to serve Jesus Christ. No desire. You see, God's put it in you. If they're not in desire, you know what that means? According to the Bible, there's no salvation if they're not in desire. He didn't say you'd be perfect at it. But verse 13 said, God worked it in us. If you don't have that, what it takes, you don't have God. But if you got what it takes, you got God. And if you got God, you got what it takes. Y'all got that? Old country preacher was praying and says, Lord, help me to cooperate with you so you won't have to operate on me. Y'all know where I'm coming from? You know, one way I know that I'm still saved because I have desire. It don't mean we're always going to do what's right. We're always going to do what we should do. But I got a desire to worship the Lord. The third thing, a principle of availability, verse 14 and 15. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation among whom you shine as lights in this world. Now, perverse nations, your generation, obey quickly and happily without murmuring. You know what murmuring is? Just half concealed, you're half complaining. Man, I've heard it all. I've heard it all. Paul says, you know, he's talking about the Jews in the wilderness and they was murmuring. And God said, you know, Moses, they're not murmuring against you. They murmuring against me. 1 Corinthians 10, 7 through 10. Neither ye idolatrous, as were some of them, as it was written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpent. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Are you available? Do you have this principle of availability? Are you? Then, are you blameless? Are you blameless tonight? Now, I didn't say sinless because none of us are sinless. But are you blameless? If Pleasant Hills fails, you can ask yourself, is it my fault? Is it my fault? Are you the blame? If we stop and close the door, as a lot of churches it is, on Wednesday night and Sunday night, are you blameless? The whole congregation, every member of this church ought to hear this. You see, if we fail and there's a class that don't have a teacher for Sunday school, are you blameless? You know, if we don't have enough of people in our nursery, are you blameless? If your neighbor is not reached, are you blameless? If you parents and grandparents are not bringing your children to Sunday school and Wednesday night, are you blameless. If my child dies and go to hell, are you blameless? Will you be the blame? If Pleasant Hill is not the church it should be, am I the blame? If our Sunday school attendance is not up as it should be, am I the blame? Will it be my fault? What kind of church would Pleasant Hill be if every member was just like me? I'm not talking about myself now, but that's for you. That's for you. Will our Sunday school be higher attendance? Is it your fault? Are you to blame? Our tithes and offering, could they be a lot more than what they are? Are you to blame? How about our prayer wheel on Sunday evening, or our prayer wheel all through the week? Could it be stronger? Are you to blame? In closing, I won't get a chance to go to these others, but there was a lighthouse, and it's claimed to be a true story, the lighthouse, and there was a bird flew into one of those windows, because you know how all these windows around the lighthouse for the light to shine, and blood flew into one of these windows and broke the window. And the keeper of the lighthouse said, well, it's just one little small pane. He found a piece of metal, and he put that little metal there in that pane, in that glass, where it wouldn't rain in. You see, then there was a ship was out, and that glass was between, I mean, that tin was between the sight of that ship and that ship run aground, and people lost their life because of that dark spot in that lighthouse. You see, I just wonder if someone, you know, might run aground because there's some dark spots in our life. As old Ray sang that song again, in my heart, that door, that room, that dark spot. How about it, Pleasant Hill? How about it, Pleasant Hill? There's some dark spots. God, I dug in my own gold field, in my own gold mine, and God showed me some gold nuggets, and he said, share it with them. And I've shared it with you tonight. Took a lot of work, a lot of digging, but it surely helped me, and I hope it's helped you as we have a closing prayer, as we pray for another. I know I went long because I know that I would, because I can't read as fast normally as I can with my glasses. But as we bow now in silence of prayer for just a moment. Father, I believe we could sense your presence very close with us this hour. I believe, Lord, that you spoke to each heart tonight. Father, we know, Lord, that these old bodies, that we're not perfect. Certainly, Lord, that we're not sinless. But, Father, we could be blameless. Lord, as you've laid our heart out open before you this